Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning and we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We've been talking about relinquishing our rights. We've been talking about the difference between what our perception is of our rights and what God says our rights are. When we claim our rights to something, we are making a claim on a kind of a relationship. And this is part of our problem, is we think our relationship is one thing when God says it's something else. This is why we want to be real careful to remind ourselves that what we are looking at is not a relationship between God and slave, or sinner, or even friend, but that when God relates to us, he relates to himself. I've wondered within myself just how God talks to himself. When we look at God as a three-part being, Spirit, Son, and Father. And that's something we can relate to. But I'm not sure it at all encompasses or reflects reality. I think we're not there yet when we think of God in terms of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is God Father? Yes. Is God Son? Yes. Is he Holy Spirit? Yes. But those are descriptions that we can relate to. To say that he is a three-part being, a trinity, it's just our way of finding a way to relate to him. It doesn't mean that it's accurate. It doesn't mean that we've got a handle on who he is. Instead, what it means is we're trying to define God in our terms. So when we claim our rights, when we exert our rights, we are trying to establish a relationship on our terms. This is how one of the ways that being dependent on God is so different than what so many of us have been taught. Because when we relate to God in terms of our dependence, we are relating to him in terms of being one in him. So what do we mean by that, being one in him? When we look at how he has revealed himself to us in the past, we can believe certain things about him, but until we have experienced them, they're not real. Someone can describe ice cream to you, or their favorite food, or their favorite place that they visited, or their favorite friend. But when they look at how they are experienced by us, we have to experience it ourselves. So when we look at the different ways that we relate to God, are we trying to get him to do things his way or our way? Are we complying with him, or are we trying to make him comply with us? We have this tendency to want to know him on our terms. And again, that's how we maintain control. So when we exert our rights, we are trying to get God to do things our way. And he will not. Do things simply because we have an expectation. Now, he's generous. This is an interesting thing, is because he's generous and merciful, and when we ask him for help, he gives it. But we have this tendency to think that because he is responding in a certain way, that we must be hearing him in an appropriate way. We must be on the right track because we're getting the results we wanted. Instead, we want to be aware that it may not be because we are pushing God's buttons correctly, but because he is merciful and generous. And even though we may be exerting our rights improperly, he's still going to respond because he loves us. So we look at the different ways that we can know him and realize that the only way we're going to be able to do this right is to let him define and determine what it's like. And when we do that, as we do that, we find out that when we do things his way, he reveals himself to us in ways that are indescribable, in ways that are not something that is necessarily going to be comparable to what we've experienced before or in any other way. That's part of our challenge and our responsibility, is to explain and to express to others, to make them thirsty, to want God, to want to know God in a different way. There's this whole idea that to do something different is going to be dangerous. It's going to be making yourself vulnerable. And we want to realize that God's ways of doing things are not our ways. So we look at our expectations and we just say, Lord, if they're wrong, I give you permission to change them. And we just say, Lord, if I've got a wrong expectation, I give you permission to reveal yourself to me in any way you choose. If my beliefs are wrong, I give you permission to change them. this is a reflection of our trust in him, of our confidence in him, of our being willing to give up our beliefs in favor of in exchange for relationship. We start a good way of a good parallel for us is in the whole concept of understanding what our temperaments are. If you don't understand that those around you are coming at you and trying to communicate with you from a different viewpoint, from a different standpoint, you may very well be expecting them to come to you only in a particular way. In other words, this is where we have a problem, a lot of problems with gender relationships, is that if you're a man, you have to communicate in a certain way. If you're a woman, you have to communicate in a certain way. And if you don't, certain conclusions are drawn about you. And that's where we want to be very aware that what we are looking for is not just to fulfill roles or exert rights. We are looking for relationship. And it's not even that we're looking for a relationship. You know, you're in relationship with God whether you recognize it or not, whether you are enjoying the peace that comes with it or not. It doesn't matter, because God knows what you need in your spirit. And that's where he's working in you. That's where he's making himself known to you. That's where he's bringing you closer to him and revealing himself to you, is in your spirit. So when we talk about relinquishing our rights, we're talking about expressing a desire and a willingness to know God on his terms, whatever it is. There's going to be many things that happen in your relationship with him that you're not going to understand. Is that okay? Is that okay? To let him define your path. To let him take you where he wants to take you and not tell you. Blindfold you even, keep you in the dark. Is that okay? And if not, what is it that's not okay? That's where you want to focus your attention. Lord, I'm afraid. What is it that I'm afraid of? Is this something, is this a wound that needs to be healed? Is this a belief that needs to be changed? Lord, is this an attack that I need to overcome? And on a moment-by-moment basis, a day-by-day basis, this is how we are changed from relying in our soul, relying on our flesh, to being dependent on God. So when we talk about relinquishing our rights, It's about changing our approach to what we believe. It's about changing our belief in our identity. When we think about the ways we conduct our lives, we all have our own goals and purposes, and we all have our own constraints. But when it comes to God, He knows everything that's going on in your life. And He constructed everything that's going on in your life right now to bring you into greater oneness with Him. It's not for any other purpose. It's not so you can be more comfortable. It's not so He can show the world through you what a great God He is. He doesn't need you for that. Everything, every expectation He has in you has already been fulfilled. So what He has asked of us is that we let Him do what He wants in our lives, and we go with Him for that ride. Now, sometimes it's going to be fun, and we have a great time. But a lot of times, it's not going to be something we're going to understand. And it may be scary, and we may be alone. This is how we get to know Him. He shows up when we need Him. He reveals Himself when we need Him. It may not be the way we want, but it's the way that's best for us. So what if we don't relinquish our rights? What if we don't say, okay, God, I'm willing to do things your way? Now, the consequences of refusing to relinquish our rights will be unique in every situation, but will fall into one of these broad categories. First, things will get worse. Second, things will get better. And third, things will stay the same. Those are the only options. And because we so often judge how we're doing by what's going on in our circumstances, we will arrive at whatever conclusion supports our self, our flesh's defiance, and strengthens our resolve to maintain our rights. In other words, if we have set our mind, our will, and our emotions continue to do things our way, we will draw the conclusions from our circumstances that line up with maintaining control. In other words, we lie to ourselves. And we get really good at it. But God will not be hindered by our misinterpretations of our circumstances. Remember, who you truly are, a spirit being, has already fully and completely abdicated all rights to the Lordship of Christ. And when we talk about the Lordship of Christ, what we're talking about is the sovereignty of God. A Christian is simply someone who has been born again in spirit. Rebirthed, re-inspired, re-inspirited. When God first made mankind, He made them, He made us, because we were in them. Spirit, soul, and body. A spirit who had a soul who lived in a body. But they were basically spirit. at the fall, at the lowering, that spirit was removed. And all who are born since then were born dead in their spirit, except one. And that was Jesus. That was God. Breaking the curse and fulfilling the law. But because he has now done that, we can now, when we say we're born again, what the heck does that mean? Does that mean that we are truly born again in the Spirit, into his family, permanently, genetically, spiritually? So there's only the two kinds of people in this world. Those are who are alive in the spirit and those who are dead in their spirit. That's it. So if you are alive in spirit, there is no different layers of spirit. You can't grow in your spirit because spirit, like begets like. You can't be slightly holy or partially omniscient. The more we get to know God and find out what our true identity is now, and that we are to learn to rule and reign in that identity instead of serving our own soul, the more that freedom comes and rest, not because we're doing less, but because our soul is not struggling against our spirit. It's if you broke your leg and you had a cast on your leg, you'd have to get around on crutches. And you'd probably, at first it would probably be kind of awkward, but over time you would probably get really good using your crutches. But then your leg heals and they take the cast off. Do you continue to walk around with crutches? Your leg, you may need to have some, you know, physical therapy to get your leg back working and to relearn your balance and everything. But you do that, and then you go back to the work, walking the way you used to. You put your crutches aside. They were necessary for a while you were healing. But you put them aside. And you get back to walking the way your legs were meant to walk. And then you go back to not even thinking about it. Well, it's the same for us. We've been using our flesh as crutches while we heal. Now, some of us refuse to have a cast on our leg. Some of us keep on trying to walk without getting healed. We are not doing what's necessary to let our leg heal. But recognize that God is in the process of healing you. And in those areas where you are healed, he will not let you continue to live according to your flesh. You know, it's really not that complicated. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. That it's the problem is that it's not under our control. We can't speed this up. We can't tell God what area to deal with. And what's amazing is that when we do, what we're really doing is fighting against ourselves. Because your spirit is really who's communicating with your soul. When we look at ourselves and when we look at others, we see our bodies. We don't see our souls. We don't see our spirits yet. But we will. Without God, we are body, soul, and dead spirit. In Him, we are spirit, soul, and body. With our spirit on the outside. This is why when Adam and Eve were walking around in the garden, they didn't know they were naked. They were just as naked before the fall as after. But they saw their spirit on the outside of their bodies. Their bodies and their souls even were engulfed in their spirit. This is why for those who were considered holy, they had the little light around them. And Moses, when he came down from being with God, he had that light on the outside. Because his spirit, in Moses' case, his spirit had been so stirred up even though it had not been enlivened. It wasn't renewed. It couldn't maintain connection with God. But you and I can. We really have no idea what God has in store for us. And for many of us, if we did, we'd run the other way. Change is hard. But you either change or die. You're going to have to change one way or another. Let's embrace it. Because in truth, if you are a believer, if you've been renewed in your spirit, you have already not only acknowledged the sovereignty of Christ, but have submitted to it as well. In your spirit, you have already said, Lord, do whatever you want. And now it's, okay, what are we doing? What are we doing to my soul? What are we doing to my body? What circumstances can we arrange to expose the flesh, to get the healing going? In your spirit, you are fully cooperating, and you know everything that's going on. You have all the characteristics and qualities of spirit. And it is this truth that is being made real to our souls, stripping the flesh of its power in our lives. So even if we don't relinquish our rights, or think we're not, God patiently persists, not allowing anything to stand in the way of the freedom He has for us. We think of God's intent for us to conform and to line up with His standards. And that His desire is that an intent, and the more we are submitted to Him, the more constrained we will be. But it's the exact opposite. Because the more we are healed and constrained in Him, soul into spirit, The more we are lining up with not only our identity, but the freedom of will, the freedom of emotion, the freedom of mind, each to line up with the intent and character of God. So it is only as we are freed from our flesh and receive healing that we start to receive and enjoy a free will. You don't have a free will right now. It's constrained by your flesh. You don't have free emotions. They're constrained by your flesh. You don't have free mind. It's constrained by your flesh. But God wants to set you free so you can be lined up with your spirit. So it's for freedom that He set us free. And we don't want to settle for anything less. So next Monday, we're going to start out with how do we give up our rights. And we're going to get into the practical application. So until then, we'll be getting back together again tomorrow at 7:30. If you've got any questions, you can always contact me at diane@wecanprepare.org. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.